We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. We're not talking about baseball right now, but we shall because it's almost baseball season. I was almost going to put my Camden Yards thing behind me, but we got to pick a football coach. And before we do that, we're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and GBMC back out on the road. We are doing a cup of soup or bowl. We're going to send it all out to the Maryland Food Bank. We're going to be doing a week-long drive during the week that you think it is, a cup of Super Bowl. So maybe about 3 weeks from now. I don't know which teams are going to be there. Luke, it's amazing how we're not going to talk any football, right? Like, we're not going to talk at all about these games, about who's winning, who's losing, other than the fact that if the Bills lose and the Steelers lose, their coaches might get fired. But as we go into this, I inked a Dear Steve Bisciotti letter, and I wanted to give some oxygen, not necessarily just to my letter, but to the contents of my letter, which were pretty significant in regarding questions for the owner. And I wrote that at a point where I saw the Baltimore Sun says he hasn't spoken since 2022. Well, I was down on the veranda in Florida, which is what sort of began the sideways part where they locked me out of the last time that he spoke to the media. It wasn't that it was three people on a deck by the Atlantic Ocean where I witnessed it from 50 feet away. And that begat problems, that begat my first Dear Steve letters, which were texts to him that weekend saying, "What are you doing? Like, what are you doing?" So I knew it emanated from him down. I have since had all the history I've had, and John Harbaugh's had the history he's had. And I've written this Dear Steve letter that some may say is me being an a-hole, whatever you think. It's fine. I do this job. Holding power accountable, which is what, when Chad Steele asked me what my job was, after I asked him what his job was, I said, I hold power accountable. And that's what I think I do. Luke, I hope you read the Dear Steve letter. And I'm feel like that's my role in holding power accountable in a way that some other cowards aren't willing to do, and in a way that I've witnessed it from the inside, the outside. I witnessed it the inside and the outside through your eyes. I dropped you off at the front door in Pittsburgh and went in on Mike Tomlin the 4 days ago, five, like whatever it is. So if I have angst about it professionally, I probably should. Just like the women from the massage places with Justin Tucker should have angst about watching the Royal Farms commercials all those years and saying, "Boy, I have a story I can tell you." And Steve's going to appear for selected media. You've been selected so far to ask questions. If I remember correctly, Chad will point at you once and you'll get one, maybe eighth, 10th, 12th, something like that. Maybe third, fourth. I don't know. There's a pecking order for all of this, because that's the way these things work. Fans might may or may not know that, but that's really the way that's the way it's been working. I don't know. They threw me out 3 years ago, so you'd have to report on that. But I put these questions together because I think they're significant. And for the people who hate me and don't want to read a Dear Steve Bisciotti letter, I'm going to cull it and turn it in. I'll do it in crayons, because all questions should come in crayons for a billionaire. And I'll put the questions together in a chart for Tuesday. That if you can get one of them in, or somebody wants to get any of them in, but they start with the coach, but the Justin Tuckers, I mean, it's what happens when you don't sit in front of the media for 8 years. There's a lot of questions that could be asked about all the money with the stadium. There's a lot of really important things that have transpired since then, but the head coaching thing is going to take the whole oxygen, and that should, because it's going to change, as I wrote, the culture of the building, because I think the culture of the building stinks.
Well, I mean, it's going to change because you're going to have a different head coach from the one you had for the last 18 years, which you think about that tenure. It began with Jonathan Ogden being a couple months away from retiring. And, Lamar Jackson was what, 11 years old at that point in time, right? And he just turned 29. I mean, that's a long time. That's an entire generation of Ravens fans who have no recollection of anything but John Harbaugh coaching the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, they're
When Lamar met John Harbaugh is a celebrity to Lamar,
sure.
right? I mean, that's a whole different dynamic that we're not aware, you know what I mean? Just that growing into a man thing that we all, or woman that we all did, when we were young, and who you admire and who you aspire to be and what suit you're going to wear and what job you're going to have and like all of that. Lamar's made every dream come true, except not yet, right? Like literally not yet.
Sure. But I mean, so this is obviously, I mean, you referenced tectonic plates, before any of this happened, the possibility of something like that, whether it was in Baltimore or Pittsburgh or both. right? To your point, I mean, depending on what happens Monday night for Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin's future, who knows, right? But to bring it back to the Ravens and Steve Bisciotti, I mean, you mentioned this is the first time since early February of 2018 that Steve Bisciotti's taken part in a press conference in his building. Yes, he spoke at the owners' meetings 4 years ago, going on 4 years ago at this time, but that was a very select few,
But that
as you
speaks for
pointed out.
itself, doesn't it? As to
I mean, well, it's just it's such a
you know,
it's
Steve,
such an
why don't you talk to the people more? That's the first question. I mean, I got so many questions, dog. You know what I mean? Which is why they don't want me anywhere near him, literally.
I mean, it's for me, and I, you know, that this isn't anything new. It's disappointing because he used to talk every year, and the insights that he would provide, whether it made Kevin Byrne kind of burr up off to the side, if Steve wasn't quite as polished saying whatever he was talking about at the time, or not, it was the owner speaking to the fan base, speaking to the season ticket holders, speaking to the media who were ultimately the liaison
The
to the
best
fans.
communication strategy you can have, honestly, is the one that doesn't feel like a communication strategy.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say the best strategy would be to communicate, like actually do it,
In a
right?
way
So,
that doesn't feel like a communication strategy.
but I mean, look, I mean, press conferences are what they are, right? I mean, there's always.
Again, you just lowered the bar, but okay. I mean, I've been to good
No,
press
I'm not. I'm
conferences. That's what I'm saying.
speaking in reality that the
Fair
press
enough.
conferences have always, to some degree, and I don't mean the Ravens, I mean in general, are always, there is a certain element of performative nature to them, as opposed to if you're talking to Steve Bisciotti or anyone, when cameras and microphones are
Over
off.
coffee,
Right,
yes.
exactly. And that's what I mean by that. But, for me, it's just been disappointing in the sense that, there used to be this state of the Ravens every year, and going back before John, even where it was going to be either, go back to Art Modell, right? And then it was going to be the owner, it was going to be the team president, it was going to be the head coach and the general manager. And starting in 2018, that stopped. And that's disappointing. And look, in a general sense, I don't think anyone has an expectation or nor even thinks that it's necessarily healthy and constructive that the owner speaks after every game, like Jerry Jones does in Dallas, right? I don't know if that's necessarily constructive or healthy for their brand, how that fan base feels, any of that. But to be in the complete opposite direction where you're never speaking, you might get away with it when things are going really well. It doesn't mean it's right, let's be clear. You might get away with it when things aren't going well, but the idea that we were waiting and fans were hoping to see that the Ravens were going to make Steve Bisciotti available after firing his longtime head coach, the fact that were there was even any doubt whatsoever whether it would happen speaks to a problem there,
By the
right? I
way,
mean,
and as an addendum to my dearest, because it's pissing me off, I'm burning up now. The reason I got thrown out was him at the pool in 2022, and I demanded access to him, and he decided he didn't want to have questions from me personally on our phones. And when I think about answering questions or not answering questions or who gets the picket, that's kind of why I brought up to begin with to say, they told me, Chad Steele told me, if you had sent Luke, I would have let Luke ask him questions. But he wasn't going to let me ask questions. And I thought to myself, I mean, you were in on all this. I was down at the Breakers, where, by the way, apparently Tiger Woods is going to throw a hell of a party with John Bon Jovi. I read that. Been a little while since I've been to the Breakers.
Tiger turning 50, right?
Yeah, it's lovely down there. It backs up to the ocean.
Crazy
Big
he's 50 years old, by
property.
the way, but go ahead.
You just don't want to get the $24 Caesar salad there, but nonetheless, or the $12 muffins. But it is a really lovely place. The whole notion of what pissed Chad Steele off that night at that party when I was standing with Mike Tomlin and Jameson Hensley, and like, oh, they were all there. It was Reback, Jonas was there. They were all there. The thing that pissed them off the most is that I wanted to ask questions. Literally. And the last time Steve Bisciotti looked into the whites of my eyes was on the veranda in the middle of Florida in Orlando. I had to go to Florida to chase him down. I'm out on a veranda and I wasn't looking to chase Steve Bisciotti down, by the way. I was there doing what I did for 15 years, which is go to the owners' meetings. You had a pass. I didn't. I walked around. I hung out with Duke Tobin and Mike McDonald at the bar. I mean, I was just like fine doing that. Not really, but I had a chance to talk to them. They saw me, and in the darkness, they evaporated. It was like something out of a movie. So that's how little Steve Bisciotti wants to give a guy like me questions, and how pissed off it made them that how dare I want to ask questions, and how dare I not send you to ask them. And as I remember, Sashi Brown did a little turn in the Italian restaurant that you were a part to a couple of years ago. I it's amazing how rarefied their air is, and why I would call them arrogant, and why I would call them evasive, and why I would call them dishonest, and like on and on and on and on and on and on. And just these are my experiences. I didn't put this in the letter. This is just me like telling the story, because it is germane to why I was thrown out, how I got thrown out, because I wanted the owner to answer some questions, as he had done forever, respectfully, forever. I went to Florida to do it twice and to follow up, because he has a security guard around him. And how am I getting to Steve? I've texted him. The last time I texted him, he told me we're going to have to agree to disagree on whether this is a media entity, and whether I'm a human being, and whether I've ever been a reporter, and whether I should have access to ask him questions. That was the last text. I'm like, okay, he's a billionaire. That's an FU to me, right? I got it. I get it. Same guy that was asking about my wife's health 12 years ago. So, like, things have changed around there after Ray Rice, because it didn't used to have to be that way. Steve Bisciotti came to my home. He elected to come to my home one night, sit on my couch, strum my guitar, watch the NFL Network, and talk about things. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand the paranoia. Although you as a media guy in and me as a media guy out, we both, and a lot of people in the space, were always led to believe it was John's ethos that made the place paranoid, not necessarily Steve. That maybe that it won't be that way with another coach, that was the coach putting his stamp on the building, as Kevin Byrne would tell me from when they hired Brian Billick, that the coach creates the culture of the building. That's just the fact. How can Steve Bisciotti create the culture in the building when he's not in the building? So John's out of the building now. I don't know if the cultures of John is out of the building and how much that is. And we could talk about that in the relation to coaching, but as it relates to questions for Steve Bisciotti, there's many questions as there are coaching candidates at this point for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And just to, not to rehash everything you just said, but to respond to it, access and transparency are good things. You can't have too much of that. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't guardrails. And that's not to say that I would ever expect a team or any entity to just let the media just 24/7, like always have access. You know what I mean? Like, there's obviously balance to that, but ne I'm never going to sit here and say that access and accountability and transparency are anything but really good things. I mean, it's just the truth, right? And it's not this not to hold.
Your mother tell you the truth will come out in the end.
I mean, it's not to hold any business, team, individual to a standard where I expect them to be perfect. I'm not perfect. I have flaws. We all have flaws. But yeah, I mean, it was one thing that I always had great respect for the organization that long predates my media career is the fact that they would have a State of the ravens every year, and where the owner would
May
answer
be proud to be a
questions. And
fan. It may be
yeah,
proud to be a PSL
sure.
holder.
So
I mean, let's not talk about Nestor the prick on the radio. Let's talk about little Nestor, the guy who wheeled the team back, got a radio station, bought tickets, went around the world, run road trips, had their players out, had their humans out. Like, no one loved the Ravens more than me. And part of the fight was having a better seat because I had a great seat at the game that I had no problem paying for because I saw the game better from my seat. Certainly than I did with Mike Tomlin's seats the other night in Pittsburgh, where you can't sit in the lower deck to see the game. So, like, the love of the team is the respect of the team. And this goes for the United States of America, too. I got into a Venezuela debate the other day, being a Venezuelan, of course, with somebody who doesn't know Venezuela from Colombia on a map, like, literally. And there was this notion of power and it being right and the messaging being right. And I'm thinking to myself, the messaging isn't, that's not what this is about. That goes back to the communication strategy. What's really happening here? And why aren't you answering it? And how do you want me to be proud of it? You know, I'm like, are you proud of America? We're bombing Venezuela and pulling people out. Like, you want me to stand proud of that? Like the Ravens out on the veranda that night, it broke my heart, honestly. It broke my heart what happened at the Breakers to say you're not only are you not answering questions, you stopped doing all of this and now you don't want questions anymore. How do I go sit in my seats? How do I support this anymore? I can't, I have to protest this. This, we're going to have a press conference every 8 years. We're going to send the coach out. I'm going to go on the radio and have to answer questions like I did with the Orioles 30 years ago. It's just dishonest. And I don't want to be a party to that. And I can't pitch that. And when I got back from Florida 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, I guess it was, the last time Steve Bisciotti spoke, I literally witnessed it from 50 feet away. And they told me if you were there, they would let you do it. That's absolutely absurd. And I didn't have any hard questions. The questions I had for him at the time were about getting the stadium money, honestly, because I knew the other guys wouldn't ask about it. Dude, that's the media in me. I only get one or two questions in a scrum like that anyway. I mean, come on, let's peel back the onion. I'm only getting a question or two anyway in that environment. Make it a good one, make it something different. Make it something nobody else is asking. That's kind of, you know who taught me that? Phil Jackman. Phil Jackman taught me that, like, how to do this. Don't ask the question everybody's asking. Ask, think of something clever. Think of something different. Think of something that you want to write about. For me, it's the stadium money because you know why? That's holding power accountable. They got, you know what I mean? To me, he could pick whatever head coach he wants. Like, you know what I mean? And I've
Right.
already said in the previous segment, whoever they pick, I'll probably be great with it because they're putting a lot of effort into it and they're really good at that. They're good at, I mean, clearly, right? So, I mean, I have a lot of respect for them. I have respect for the way he's built his business, made his money, and all that. I have no respect for being lied to. I have no respect for anything revolving around Ray Rice. I have no respect for what he and the organization did to me on the veranda 4 years ago and has done ever since, including this week that they did when Chad Steele picked up the phone and called Pittsburgh and said I had incidents. Yeah, incidents like you're trying to ask the owner a question in Florida when I flew down there. It's insane. And I just want people to know how insane it is. And then they can go read my letter, do whatever they want. But the crux of this is I have questions to ask of the owner, which is all I've ever done all of my life, going back to Tom Ebright owning the Skipjacks for crying out loud. You know what I mean? Like, it's insane. Ed Hale. How do you think I know Ed Hale? He owned a soccer team. He talked to me whenever I wanted to talk to him about anything. Come to my office, trying to sell tickets. You know, I mean, we've come a long way here, Luke, but you know, good luck on Tuesday. I hope you get to ask the question that you want to ask, but there are a lot of questions to be asked, and I think that that's really what this is about. Above and beyond football and who the next head coach is, because that'll be 80% of the press conference. Shouldn't be. Justin Tucker should be the lead story, because that's the last time he got together. Nobody's ever answered a question about that. The last I checked, half the audience is female, including your mother and your sister and my wife. And so that's where I would be. If you ask a question about Justin Tucker in there on Tuesday, they'll throw you out. And that's unfortunate, but that's the truth. So I'm interested to hear what's going to happen, because the last time he did this in the castle under duress, I wasn't there on that weird. My wife was battling cancer. Sorry about that. But in the middle of the whole Ray Rice fiasco, I didn't have a whole lot to say about it. But the day he showed up in loafers really pissed off, I watched that on television in my wife's hospital room. So I remember that pretty good. And I wasn't a part of that. And that was like thrown together. Were you at that
I was. They, I'm trying to, man, that was, I mean,
12 years ago?
hard to believe that's 11 and a half years ago at this point in time. Because what? The ESPN, the magazine, had put out, with Kevin Van Valkenburg, and, I know there were some others that worked with him on that story. So they put out that story. Steve talked, and they put out like a packet of responses to different items of reporting, rebuttals, if you will, to different items of reporting. But they put it out
Through legal.
5 or 10 minutes before. I mean, and maybe it wasn't 5 or 10 minutes, but it was not a very long period of time
To prepare
before
your
the press
questions. Right.
conference started that they put that out, and he kept referencing to th
This
that.
was their communications. This is their crisis management strategy.
So, I mean, put me on the spot a little bit trying to just
No,
remember
but
that. But
I,
yeah,
this
I
is
was
how.
there. I was there.
How many times have you been in a
Well,
room with
and
him? How
hey,
many
you know
times have
what?
you attended this thinger? Like 10 times, maybe? The first 8 or 9, and then it went away, or six
What
or
was
seven?
Steve? Yeah, I mean, what, 2000, probably for me, because I didn't start working full time in the media till the August of 2011. So it probably would have been the post Billy Cundiff State of the Ravens, I would think. It's probably the first one I attended, post
Okay.
Billy Cundiff miss. So that was January slash February of 2012. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and then the Ray Rice, the Ray Rice press conference that they.
You've been in a room with Steve 8 times where you could allegedly ask a question.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And you've been the beat writer 16 years for me, right?
So yeah, I guess 15, yeah, I guess 15, 16, yeah, something like that. So yeah.
How do you feel about that?
What, that specifically? I mean, I'll go back to what I said. Look, I also don't have the expectation that he needs to be Jerry Jones either. I don't think Jerry Jones talking, running his mouth after every game is remotely
What should he
constructive for
do?
them.
What like?
But
And I remember asking him this, and he may have burned up. You can go watch it on YouTube. You can go get his reel.
I
I
mean,
sat on the veranda and I asked him, "What do you owe the Baltimore Ravens fans?" And he said something like, "I owe them the Ravens." He just said something like, and you can go watch it. I don't want to even put words in it, but go watch it. It's
I
on
mean,
YouTube.
for
But like,
me,
I've asked him tough questions sitting next to him before, and I don't understand why tough questions are out of bounds. Well, it does. I nobody in power wants to speak, and I speak to power, and that's why they threw me out. I mean, I at the root, when I told Chad Steele I hold power accountable, that's it. I don't understand the dynamic of this guy who went to see Johnny Unitas, like all of that, built this thing from nothing, thought enough of me at one point to come sit in my home and strum my guitar, that would the Ray Rice thing would be this defining thing that completely changed everything about his accountability and his availability and his ability or inability to. When I was going to run for mayor, my wife and I were in a car. We left the zoo one night. And I was going to run for mayor. I mean, I have a 41 page. I was good. I wouldn't have done as good a job as Brandon has done. So I want to say that Brandon's done a great job. So there you go. Hats off to Brandon. I give credit. I don't have game, but I respect game. Murders are down. Come back to the city. I want to say that. Went through the bad part of the city, right? A rough challenge, a place you would say is challenged. We took a turn, like on purpose, kind of a wrong turn at sun. At the sun was going down, and we went sort of through an area we wouldn't have normally have driven in West Baltimore. And my wife said to me, "You get to be the mayor of this too, dude. You ready for that? You okay with that?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I am." And at that point, like I said, I think I'd be okay with that. And that means you're ready to be okay with that. So I'll leave it there. because that speaks for what it is. So when Ray Rice happens, you lose a player in the offseason, maybe in a way you didn't want to lose him in a part of town you didn't want to lose him, or maybe you lose him on a dirt bike in Florida, maybe whatever, you know, coming forward, being out in front, taking a picture on the field with the, like what I saw Mr. Rooney doing last week. Because, you know, I'm not a comparison guy. Now that Harbaugh's gone, we can compare and contrast again, right? We're allowed to compare. But I was in Pittsburgh the other night and I saw Rooney on the field with fans. He has his fan consortium that he meets with, sort of, it's sponsored by somebody. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I haven't seen Steve at a rubber chicken dinner. By the way, can I give 1 minute of respect here to the Orioles? I shook Katie Griggs's hand on Thursday morning and spoke with her. I spoke with Mark Fine. I spoke with Don Roback. They were literally the three biggest executives the Orioles have. Were in a ballroom in Cockeysville at 7 a.m. on Thursday with a smaller group. I mean, maybe about 200 people. WBAL's involved in this. Mike Tisch, they do a great job. So the Orioles are out trying really hard. I just want to point that out. You know what I mean? Like, I saw the Orioles
Good.
trying hard for the
Good.
first time and really good. And I participated and I came out. I don't see Chad Steele and Sashi Brown out doing that right now. And the you know, the brass, although I think Brad did do it last year. I should my this I don't want to be disrespectful. I think Brad Downs did it last year. So I, but that's different than Sashi or like whatever. But that being said, the competition part of where the Orioles are and the Ravens are and coming forth, and I still go back to Justin Tucker and Ray Rice and the bad news. And when you lose, you know, Lamar's lost all of these games. How many big games has Lamar lost since the last time Steve spoke? A lot. And Steve used to sit there and feel the pain of the fans in front of the fans, right? And there was something as a PSL holder, as a guy that would run into him in the team lobby in New Orleans, and he'd say, "Hey, sit down. How you doing? How's your wife? Hey, Jen, how you doing?" Like, he was that guy for a long, long time, dude. And that's the part that really rubs at me, like, what's wrong with you, dude? Just disappearing. You're going to have to drive through the bad side of town sometimes. And you get to be the owner of that too. You get to be the owner of 8 and 9. You get to be the owner. You don't just get to be the owner when the trophy comes. And I think that that's what this has become. And respectfully, I've talked to several other people, grown-ups from his building, who have said he's disappeared over the last day, like all of that. And when I got thrown out a couple years ago, a couple of people who've I'm very close to said he doesn't care anymore, and that's a shame. They said that to me 3 years ago. And I tell you, showing up shows you care, right? Like, so he's coming out here at this point, and the first question is, where have you been? Like, for me. So that's not piss and vinegar, that's PSL holder. You know, that's the guy that traveled around the world and painted the town purple. Like, where you been, dude? Come on, man. You've made $2 billion on the team since the last time you got in front of Luke. I mean, come on, man. Be better all the way around. Be better. That's my challenge to them. Change the culture, including your own. Heal thyself, you know?
I mean, I'll say this, and it really goes in line with what I said several minutes ago. I don't think it's too much to ask to make a requisite once a year press conference participation for yourself, like you did for so many years, like Art Modell did before that. And if there's some kind of crisis, to your point, whether we're talking about Ray Rice or Justin Tucker or anything, you know, or anything that, you know, you talked about mortality. You know, you alluded to Jalen when Jalen Ferguson died several years ago. I mean, not saying specifically for that, but anything along those lines that calls for the owner to be present and in front of cameras and to speak to their fan base, I don't think that's too much to ask. I don't think it, win or lose, good or bad, a once a year. You know, even though the league doesn't require it, that was to me always something that I think was
Presence is a requirement.
it earned them a lot of grace.
That's what
It
makes you
did.
different than being owned by some money group. You know what I mean? I
Sure.
mean, Rubenstein and Arrighetti are faking it, right? They're showing up and faking it till they make it. They're showing a presence. But what, you know, made a bobblehead of himself for crying out loud, right? Like he wants to say Peter Angelos isn't here anymore. He just isn't very good at saying it yet. First thing he's done, signing Pete Alonso, says Peter Angelos isn't. I mean, like I pointed that out to Katie Griggs and Don Rowe. I pointed that on the air, off the air, any Barstool Acostas, wherever you want to talk about things, you're going to get the real deal with me. I don't need to make things up to shine it up for Steve Bisciotti or Michael Arrighetti and Dave. Like, it just speaks to a communication strategy versus communicating. And it speaks to when you have a communication strategy, it looks like a communication. I can't imagine how tight the sphincters are going to be on Tuesday. Because Steve Bisciotti knows there are questions coming about Justin Tucker. And he's got his script, his football decision. Sure it was. Prove that. You know, like, and there'll be no follow-ups. I know how I that's why Chad didn't want to let me loose with him at the pool 4 years ago. When all I wanted to do was ask about the $650 million that we gave him, and what is he going to do with it? Well, we're going to throw you out of the press box, and we're going to take your buddy Luke and stick him up in the corner. We're going to put Kevin Byrne's name on it, and we're going to line this thing in gold, and we're going to charge a lot of money. Because that's really what happened with the money. So we could pay Lamar $70 million next year instead of 60. I mean, that's really
Generally, I
what
mean, it's why the Chiefs are that's why the Chiefs are moving to Kansas, you know?
right.
I mean, like
I mean, the
yeah.
Bears,
I
the
mean, it's how
Chiefs,
it
the
is.
Bills, we get it through the list here. The Browns. I mean, what have the Browns done to deserve any piece of concrete that isn't a tombstone? Literally,
They're
these
gonna have a
people.
dome now. They're gonna get a Final Four there, you
They're going to
know? I
get a
mean,
Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're
because
going to have.
who wants to go to Cleveland in early February?
They're going to hold the draft inside the Cleveland Dome, like literally, right? Like, and that's cool, and that's great, and I'm glad you're making money, Steve, and I'm glad, like, and I hope your health is okay. Literally, I mean, show up, be present, like Mr. Rooney was last week in Pittsburgh, and I'm not just saying kissing his ass because he left me tickets. I'm a Steeler fan now. I already admitted this week I had a terrible towel. It's pink. They gave it to me when I came in. Crucial catch. Couldn't throw it away, but yeah, people think I'm a Steelers fan. It's like, man, you throw some ish at me, but that's
That's funny.
what's next? They're gonna say I root for Notre Dame? Come on, man, you know better than that. Root for the Yankees? The Flyers? I thought about being a Flyer fan for a minute. I really did. I mean, the mascot's cute. I'll let you wrap up. People can go read my. I mean, I want to have a sense of humor about it, but I don't really have a sense of humor about it. I
Well, I mean,
really
I
don't.
just,
I
you know
love the
what?
Ravens too much. I love the city too much. I've dedicated too much of my life to football to have this go down the way it's gone down on bar stools around town in the last 4 years for me.
Yeah, I mean,
For
it.
me.
You know, to bring the focus to what we're going to hear Tuesday afternoon, you know, what are you looking for in a head coach? You know, what values are you prioritizing? You know, I'm interested to see, because of what you didn't allude to. I mean, you flat out said that he's not as hands-on and in the building and present as much as he is. So how will this coaching search go compared to 18 years ago? I mean, will Eric be doing more than what Ozzie did 18 years ago in that process, right? Will the power structure remain the same? Will it continue to be general manager and head coach side by side, and each individually answers to the owner? Or do you adopt a different, you know, do you adopt a model where the coach answers to the general manager more so? What this would actually, if you were ever going to do that, this would be the time to do it. With Eric being as long established as he is, not just as a general manager, but being in the building in general. And especially if you hire a very young head coach, right? I mean, Eric is 54, I believe, off the top of my head. And if you hire a 38-year-old head coach, does that individual answer more to DaCosta? You know, do you tweak your power structure in a way that fans have kind of thought that it was that at different times, but no, it's always been head coach and general manager are side by side and they each answer to the owner. These are the questions I'm curious about. Are we going to get full-blown clarity on all of it? I don't expect them to to pigeonhole themselves in terms of like what kind of coach
I hope
specifically they
it's
want to
more
hire.
honest than most of
But
DaCosta's press conferences have been
I mean, I
lately,
hope so.
and
But I
Harbaugh.
also
I
know
mean,
they're
and
not gonna.
like again, once you start getting lied to, it's like any other relationship. They have been so incredibly dishonest to me as a fan, as a stakeholder, as a PSL holder, as a media member on the inside, on the outside. They've just been really dishonest. And part of that, I called it institutional dishonesty. And as I wrote in my Dear Steve Bisciotti letter, lead story is you got to be honest with yourself. And they clearly were this week that John Harbaugh was no longer the fit here, right? Like the owner's been honest about that. John was honest about that. This is not the right place for us anymore together in this circumstance. And people are gonna be lining up. I mean, they're gonna get a really they're gonna get a great candidate,
Within
right?
reason,
They're
they're
gonna
going
get
to
a
get.
great candidate.
Within reason, they're going to get whoever they want. It's just going to be a matter of is that going to be? And I will always reject the notion that there is one right guy for the job. I think there's in any
Dude, that's
given
an
hire.
amazing thing you just said. They're going to get whoever they want
Within
because,
reason,
like
well, you know, like
this is the
okay,
best job.
you're not going to
Right,
hire away
right.
Sean McVay from the Rams, but in terms of anyone that's available, you're going. I can't fathom, unless there would happen to be just a real big personality clash, that like whoever that person is, like he and Eric are oil and water when they're going through the interview process or something like that. But be you know, putting aside that, within reason, they're going to get whoever they're going to be able to hire whoever they want. So that doesn't mean that there's only one guy that's the right guy to hire. There might be two or three different guys that they could hire in this hiring cycle that would work out really well there. The challenge is making sure who you pick is one of those two or three that will work, because there are also plenty of guys that you can hire that won't work out. And we know how that works as well. And it's not easy to do. That's why I think that's one reason why Steve held on to John as long as he did, because yeah, I mean, he acknowledged it when Tyler Boyd happened, you know, when the Bengals did that back in at the end of 17. Steve acknowledged at the time that he gave thought. Now, it might have been little more than a passing thought, but he gave some thought, wondering if it was time to move on from John then. So, I mean, that was 9 years ago at this point in time. So, or, you know, about 8 years ago. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what he has to say, what criteria they express as being important to them. What, if any, role Lamar Jackson will have, you know, as far as consideration with, you know, who you're hiring as your head coach? I mean, you know, you're talking about a two-time MVP quarterback. Not to say he's going to sit in on the
Well, that's
interviews,
why I
but
go back to, are we hiring the right now coach or the right coach? And if the right coach is the right coach and the right now coach, he'll survive Lamar, win or lose, but he won't. Because if Lamar doesn't win a championship here in the next couple of years, they hired the wrong coach. Like the
yeah.
window is 3 years here. If it doesn't happen, maybe they love the coach so much that he stays on, and that would be a younger coach or a Kubiak or,
Yeah.
you know, that kind of
I mean, who
thing.
knows?
Yeah, I
I
mean,
mean, you never really know. And again, I mean, we try not to, but we tend to view these things through binary lenses, where like good or bad, right or wrong, right? I mean, we're gonna see. Like, is Lamar gonna stay healthy over the next couple of years, or was this the unfortunate precursor to more health challenges? And the same applies for anyone. Kyle Hamilton could suffer a career-ending injury next year. Like, and I'm certainly not putting that on Kyle. I love Kyle Hamilton, but you don't know what's going to happen, right? You don't know where you're going to be. You don't know who's going to develop. You don't know if your first-round pick's going to work out. You don't know if that long-term contract, like Nnamdi Matabike, 2 years ago they signed him
crazy.
to a $100 million contract, and you know, we're thinking until we hear otherwise, his career might be over,
Yeah,
right? I
but
mean,
you
you
know
don't
what?
know. You
I'll
just don't
leave it on
know.
this because we've been at it a long time here, and Luke's here. I'm here. We're going to be any breaking news we'll get. I was having this conversation with the Orioles people at the Kinex event, and you know, Katie Griggs is here, and Don Rovac's there, and Mark Fine. The Orioles people were there. I was having a baseball conversation, believe it or not, with Jim Schwartz's cousin, Marty Schwartz, who runs Vehicles for Change. I'm going to have him on as a guest. We were talking about Jimmy and football, and all of that. And the conversation was a baseball conversation, believe it or not, even though I'm with a football guy. He loves the Orioles, we do. And it was like, who's Rubenstein going to sign? That pitching and bitching. And I'm thinking, There's nothing in sports more volatile than signing a pitcher to a big deal, right? And I'm thinking, but in football, it's car crashes all the time. And
I
I
don't
was
know.
sitting behind someone, it kind of gave me a little shiver. I was sitting in the stands in Pittsburgh the other night and I saw a Ryan Shazier jersey. You know what I mean? And I thought, wow, they're for the grace of God. That's, you know, these guys are playing and I see the just amongst the Roethlisbergers and the Palomalus and everything else. I'm thinking to myself, it really is the Matabike and like what happens. But we think of pitchers' arms falling off and like all the investment made in that. Football,
I mean,
it's amazing it doesn't happen way more often. You know what I mean? Given the game that this with Zach Orr and Nande Matabike, the guys' careers. I mean, and then Calais Campbell, by the grace of God, so Aaron Rodgers trying to win game, Joe Flacco.
sure.
It's just not that kind of game, you know?
You
It
don't
really
know.
isn't.
You don't know. I mean, you just sparked something, you know, when you mentioned Ryan Shazier and we just talked about Nnamdi Matabike. I wasn't there that day. I vividly remember back in 1997 when Ray Lewis was like had a bad stinger with his neck, and then there was, I know there was a lot of fear that, like, you know, even in 1997 you knew Ray Lewis was going to be something like really important for this franchise. I mean, what if that was a Matabike situation? I mean, think how
Hey, he
that.
got medevaced and John Ogden got carted off in Atlanta. He was
Right.
my guest the next night that year.
But
Like
I'm just
literally,
saying, like,
like these are
you
Hall of Fame players that like
think how that alters the course of your franchise, right? So, like, and I don't say that to be like fatalistic talking about these things. You just don't know. And
but
that's
things
why.
go wrong. And that as we gets
Exactly.
back to Steve and asking
Yeah.
about that, to me, I'm not like this tremendously over the top. This guys drop footballs. That happened last year with Mark. Guys miss field goals. It's happened a couple times. Like
Right? It wasn't all John's fault,
I'm
you
not the
know,
guy
like.
coming home punching a hole in the wall from mistakes of effort or mistakes of integrity, you know, or doing it with people with integrity, right? Like literally, I'm good with all of that. That's my expectation. I mean, Papa Joe used to write a Bill of Rights at 101 Sports 30 years ago. You know, I mean, I sort of have my Bill of Rights and the things that I'm willing to accept and not accept. One of them's the owner disappearing for 10 years. One of them's the kicker being a serial predator around it. The other's having a running back punch his wife in the face and have everybody just deny everything. Like, and having a coach lie in just brazenly at various points, especially during the end when he was wearing the crown, that he couldn't be fired. And he didn't get fired for a long time through a lot of warts and problems. And he fought his way through and he won his way through. And they drafted their way through and he quarterbacked his way through and he revolutions his way through and all of that. And he's going to go get a job that's bigger and better and make more money next week. You know, so Baltimore was good to Jim, John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh for a minute, but not so good that day in 2013. But, you know, John Harbaugh made $200 million here. Steve Bisciotti's made $2 billion since the last time he talked to you. Come on, man. Come on, man. You know, just you can do this and have integrity. You can do this and be secretive without being duplicitous. You can, you know, you can be a great owner and be out in front of it and drive through the bad neighborhoods once in a while too. Come to Dundalk and have a beer once in a while too. You can do that. And that's what the promise was of what we were sold 25 years ago. And that's what David Modell promised me. And I bought in. And that's why I'm writing about it because I'm like, I bought into a PSL in 1996. What's the promise in 2026? What are the Ravens now? This secretive organization that throws people like me out for asking questions? Is that what they are? Because that's what they are. Maybe that's not what they aspired to be. That wasn't the kind of fan or radio station or radio host or columnist or in the honor of John Stedman and Johnny Unitas and Art Donovan and all the Lenny Moore and the people, my dad. It's disgraceful, like what they've become for me and what I have to answer for. And I called it disgraceful because it is. Pittsburgh Steelers people thought it was disgraceful too, quite frankly. Like they're doing what to you? Why? Incidents. Yeah, incidents. So, and I don't get to ask questions about that. I just get to whine about it on the internet. But, you know, I hope you get a good question in, and I hope that Steve purports himself in some way that makes me think. He wants to purport himself in a way that impresses me. Let me in and give me my one question. Point to me. And if you're doing it on seniority, I get the first question. Unless Garceau's there, maybe. But yeah. So I gave the first question to Art Modell. He'd be rolling over right now. David too. It's just, I can hear David calling down right now saying, Steve's not what? He isn't at a press conference. That was wrong with him. You got anything else? Yeah.
I said to
That's
me,
what the
I
PSL
again,
older than me is saying.
my last point that I'll continue to say is I don't think it is unreasonable whatsoever to minimum once a year get in front of your fan base, get in front of your local media and answer questions, good or bad. And obviously, if there's anything that calls for, that's crisis oriented or like a big thing, like if you win the Super Bowl, like an additional one, something like that, where I don't think it's unreasonable to expect a minimum once a year, which is what the standard was in Baltimore for a long, long time. And if you recall, once upon a time, fans loved that and praised them for that on an annual basis.
He is Luke Jones. He'll be there Tuesday. I'm Nestor. I will not. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Hope you read everything we're doing and enjoy everything we're doing as we enter the new year here. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.